If you are trusting in anything other than the man on the middle cross said you could come, you don't have the real gospel. If you have a backup plan that involves anything other than Jesus Christ alone, you don't have the real thing. If any of your trust is in something that you did, you are missing it. Well, I went to church. Doesn't matter. Well, I took communion. Doesn't matter. Well, I was confirmed. Well, I prayed a lot. I got that one this week. Nope. It must be because he, the man on the middle cross, said I could come. Praying will not get you into heaven, but today we are going to talk about prayer. And just as we shape our view of God from his word and nothing else, not what a pastor says, but what the Bible says, have you ever considered shaping your view of prayer the same way? Not yet. Alistair, nope, not yet. Okay, have you considered shaping your view of prayer the same way? What does the Bible say about praying? Now you can do it. You were on. I was off. I'll take that one. Whatever you just had on the screen. There you go. Shape your view of prayer only from the scripture itself, okay? That's what we're going to do today. And I'm going to shoot straight with you. This is going to rub you the wrong way. This is going to push on you. This is going to push on everything that you thought about prayer. And all I'm going to do is tell you what God's word says about prayer. That's it. I'm even more excited about next week because I have been waiting for 4 years to preach next week's sermon. Yes, I have a friend who is a Christian, but he does not believe that God answers prayers. So, for the last 4 years, every time I have come across a scripture where God directly answers a prayer, I sent it to him. And it was so overwhelming, the amount of times in the Bible that God responds to prayer, he got angry. And I just thought I was being a good friend. And then on top of this, okay, I've been waiting to do this for 4 years. On top of this, my phone stores all my text messages. There's over 400,000 of them, okay? And I just typed in the search under my text messages, answered prayer. Just this last week, and it was a worshipful experience. Just going through hundreds and hundreds of text messages where God answered prayers. Some of them were in the Bible. Some of them were people asked me to pray for something. I have a unique role that most of you guys don't get to see what I see, and I wish you could. And next week, I'm going to tell you all the times that God answered prayers. That's next week, okay? Today, we're going to shape our view of prayer from the scripture. Here we go. When something comes across God's word, it comes across your path, and it's from God's word, you have to decide whether you're going to believe God's word or you're going to believe what you previously thought. You're going to have to decide. You're going to come across things in scripture that are going to rub against what you previously thought, and you have to make a decision. Am I going to side with God's word or am I going to hang on to what I was taught? First, in all of the Bible, God is the only one who is ever prayed to. Not yet. I'm kidding. We'll get there. In all the Bible, there is never an example of anyone, dead or alive, ever hearing a prayer. Only God. Screen. Every prayer is directly to God alone. Boom. Now, I don't say this to offend you. I really don't. I say this because I want you to know what the Bible teaches. on prayer. In addition to that, the only person who's ever prayed to in the scripture is God alone. In addition to that, God actually says trying to communicate with the dead is wrong. Leviticus 19:31 says this, "Do not defile yourselves by turning to mediums or those who consult the spirits of the dead. I am the Lord your God." A medium is not the difference between a large and a small. I know. A medium is a go-between, the world of the unseen and the world we have. They're go-betweens, they're mediums, they're diviners, they're spiritists. Don't mess with that. Consulting the spirits of the dead for advice, guidance, or help for the future is strictly forbidden. Leviticus 26. We got to pick this up, Trent. We got to go faster. "I will turn against those who commit spiritual prostitution." How do you do that? "By putting your trust in mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead, I will cut them off from the community." They're putting their trust in the mediums. Isaiah 8:19. "Someone may say, let's go ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead with their whisperings and their mutterings. They will tell us what to do." Now look how explicit this gets. "But shouldn't people ask God for guidance?" He just says it plainly. Shouldn't the living seek guidance from the dead? No. Next verse. "Look to God's instructions and teachings." People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. He's so clear. Don't look to them, but to God. "I only tell you all this because praying to anyone else, living or dead, is dishonoring to God." God himself tells us, pray directly to him. Jesus prayed so much that his disciples said, "Teach us to pray. Teach us." So go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I want you to see this for yourself because you're barely going to believe me. Matthew chapter 6. This is also going to rub against what many of you have been told, and I want you to see it. I have no agenda other than to teach you what is written. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Oh, it's getting old. It's getting old even for me. Okay. Verse 7. Now really, you guys gotta. The Huffleses are here. You sneaky snakes. I'll talk to you after. "When you pray," this is Jesus, "don't babble on and on as the people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again." He's just explicitly saying it. Don't be like them, verse 8. "For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask." And he goes on to say, instead, pray like this. Now stop there. He explicitly says, don't keep repeating yourself over and over and over, thinking you're going to be heard. Instead, he says, pray like this. Like this. He gives a model. So guess what we do as humans? Exactly. We take what he told us not to do and do exactly that with it. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." You guys know it. You all know it. You all memorized it. No meaning. No relationship. No heart behind it. And you guys all know it. You could say it in your sleep. Just mindless repetitions of words that are said over and over. Now this is going to blow your mind too. For the rest of the New Testament, okay? For the rest of the New Testament, after this, 23 other books, letters written to churches, letters written to pastors, whole sermons we have recorded. This prayer is never repeated again. I know. You're like, what? No, no, give me that Bible. Show me that. Read it. Read it for yourself. So what is he teaching us here if he isn't saying, repeat after me? If he isn't saying, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, the will be done on earth as in heaven. You guys know it? I always have a competition who could say it faster. If he's not saying, say these exact words, what is he saying? Let's look at it together. Pray like this. Matthew 6, verse 9. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, May your name be kept holy. You're like, that's not my translation. I don't even like that. Why? Because it makes you think about what you're saying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What a sweet relationship that we have to address a father. He's a father. When I greet my dad, I don't shake his hand. I give him a hug because he's my dad. And that's how you address your Father in heaven. You know him. You have a relationship with him. J.I. Packer said, if you want to know how much somebody understands about Christianity, see how much they make of the thought of God being their Father. So the very first and highest prayer request is that your name be honored. Hallowed? Do you guys even know what that word means? Hallowed be thy name? Kid joke. Kids were asked, what's God's name? And a kid quickly sprouted up and he says, oh, I know. What is it? Howard. Howard? Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name. No. May your name be honored. The most important thing to us, first and foremost prayer request, God, honor yourself. When was the last time that your prayer was that? God, honor yourself in my life. At all cost, exalt your name. Our prayers are more me-centered than they are God-centered. Our prayers are more me-focused than they are God-focused. And he's saying, no, instead, pray like this. May you be exalted above everything. Jesus started flipping tables. Why? Because his Father was being dishonored. Just so you know that you can still flip tables and be Christ-like, okay? It can come out at holidays and whatever you want to do. And make a whip. Man, we got all sorts of options. Okay, so here it is, the first one. He's saying, pray like this up on the screen. Pray that God's honor would be your greatest concern. That's the first prayer request. Second one, 6:10. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You guys know this. What does that even mean? We are praying in this that God's values would be our values. That's the prayer request. In heaven, right now, righteousness rules and evil is obliterated. We want that for your world also, Lord. Not yet. Okay. I'm just teasing now. We're just having fun. Okay. Godliness does not mean that you should just be a good boy. Just a good boy. Godliness is loving what God loves and hating what God hates. That's godliness. So when you pray, your kingdom come and your will be done as it is in heaven on earth, we want that now, is to pray righteousness dominates and evil is obliterated. That's what we're praying. You guys can pray that. Matthew 6:11, next one. Give us today the food we need. We don't pray this. Give us today our daily bread. That's how you memorized it. You didn't even care, right? Like, everybody's got bread. It's 99 cents a loaf. No, it is saying, pray, Lord, help us to depend on you. Get us through each day. This is not what we pray for as Americans. This isn't. You want to know what we pray for as an American? The American prayer is, Lord, give us 20 years' wages so we don't actually have to trust in you. Don't act like you haven't prayed to win the lottery. Leave us more money, God. And God is more concerned with your relationship and your dependence on him than he is your financial security. Is it wrong to plan ahead? No. But if that becomes your aim in life, it's really just a issue of your love for security and your love for money. Ask yourself, is this pulling me away from my relationship with Christ? Give us today our daily bread. Get me through today. We don't pray that. We want to pray, give my world so much security financially that I don't actually need to trust in you. Maturing in the Christian faith is not getting to the spot where you don't need him anymore. Maturing in the Christian faith is where you realize daily, I need you. I need you for everything. Where are you, God? That's maturing in the Christian faith. So the prayer for that one is, prayer is relational. God, help us depend on you and not just sing about it. What's the song? I depend on you. This is why I don't sing. We sing that, but do we mean it? He's not a divine Santa Claus that's just waiting to give you what you asked for. 6:12, we're almost done here. 6:12, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You guys memorized it? If this prayer model has not been personal to you up to this point, it's about to. Forgive my sin. When was the last time you prayed, Lord, help my unforgiving heart? Lord, help my grumbling heart. I'm just mad at everything. When was the last time you prayed, show me my sin, Lord? Search me. And if I'm off, show it to me. Real question, do you even want that prayer answered? Show me my sin. Show me my dependence on you. 13, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. That's what you remembered. Deliver us from evil. What a prayer. Keep us from sin. This last one is only your prayer if you hate your sin. This is only your prayer if you hate sinning against God. But if you want to keep your little pet sins in the closet and just bring them out when you want them, you won't pray this. You won't want this answered. He says, rescue us from the evil one. We can't rescue ourselves. He is stronger, faster, smarter, and he knows more Bible than you do. We desperately need to be rescued from the evil one. I've got to wrap this up. But we did not even have time to get into the prayers of Ephesians 1, biblical prayer. The prayers of Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, Colossians 4, Romans 10, Philippians 1, 2 Thessalonians, and 1 Peter. And they all have this. I'll sum it up for you. They are all prayers that you would know Christ more. Acts 4, they pray for boldness after they get released from prison. You know what happened if we got released from prison? I pray for safety, Lord. Safe travels out of here. Leave these people to themselves. Biblical prayers want God to be exalted. They want you to know Christ more. Romans 10, my heart's desire and prayer is that they would be saved. The biggest need in your life is not that your health is clean. The biggest need in your life is not that you have enough money to get through the day. The biggest need in your life is not that your circumstances change. The biggest need in your life is that you would know God. Shape your view of prayer from the Bible and the Bible alone. Let's pray. What am I going to say now? God, I don't want to talk about you like we don't know you. I don't want to talk to you like I'm talking to a room. But we want your name to be exalted at all cost, even if it makes us look like fools. Would you help us to shape our view of prayer from what you say rather than what we want? Help us to believe all the words that we read in Scripture and not to doubt, did God really say that? And we ask for Christ to come and make his home in our hearts, not as a religion, not as a ritual, but truly. May you honor your Son in your church. It's in his name we pray. Amen.